Test 9.
Part 1. Listening Comprehension. Section A. Talk. Do you believe in ghosts? For hundreds of years, cases of supernatural happenings have been reported with strange similarity from all over the world. But only in the last century has any serious study been made of these apparently fanciful stories. Now efforts are being made to either prove the existence of the supernatural or dismiss it permanently. What is the evidence available today? Many cases of unusual events have been recorded and signed statements taken from eyewitnesses. Modern equipment has been used in some instances. Tape recorders, cameras, instruments sensitive to light and heat, and even television. After reports from a home in Grimsby, England, that the ghost of an old man had been seen, six witnesses, including an electronics engineer, kept watch. The engineer set up a television camera in the bedroom where the ghost had appeared most frequently. For several hours, all six stared at a television screen downstairs. Suddenly, the hideous head of an old man flashed into view and leered at the horrified observers. One immediately rushed upstairs. As he came on the screen, the face simply disappeared from the screen. Everyone was baffled. Another less spectacular ghost scared the prison officers at Shepton Mallet Prison, Somerset, England. Four tough, experienced officers inexplicably sensed the horrible feeling of an invisible presence. They heard bangs and strange sounds coming from an empty room. So seriously did the governor of the prison treat their story that he sent a full report to the Home Office. Six girls and a boy at Blackburn, Lancashire, saw a plump, gray-haired figure standing with folded arms in their factory canteen doorway as they left one night. The figure vanished. Telling their story to the other employees, the youngsters described in detail the ghost's features. They corresponded exactly with those of workers who had died 300 years previously at the same spot. Nobody who has genuinely seen a ghost describes white feet, wailing, and clanking of canes. These things belong properly in storybooks. Invariably, ghostly figures make a harmless appearance and then vanish. Poltergeists, from the German noisy ghost, which are rarely seen, appear to be strong enough to throw objects and play mischievous tricks with electric lights, for example. At the existing level of knowledge, the world of the supernatural cannot be simply dismissed as trickery. Until scientific research comes up with positive results, it must be considered as a serious area of study.
Section B, conversation. I'm sorry, Parson. I don't want to disturb the services.
You already have. You don't come to the church very often, Marshall. And when you got married today, you didn't see fit to be married here. What is so important to bring you here?
I need help. It's true I haven't been a church-going man. Maybe that's a bad thing. And I didn't get married here today because my wife is a Quaker. But I came here for help. Because there are people here.
I am sorry, Marshall. Say what you have to say.
Maybe some of you already know it. But if you don't, it looks like Frank Miller is coming back on the noon train. I need all the special deputies I can get.
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's go.
Hold it a minute. Hold it. Before we go rushing out into something that ain't going to be so unpleasant,
Let's be sure what we know what this is all about. What I want to know is this. Ain't it true Kane needs a longer marshal? And ain't it true there's personal trouble between him and Miller?
All right, all right. Quiet, everybody. There's a difference of opinion. Let everybody have a say. But let's do it like grown-up people, and let's get all the kids out of the building.
I say it doesn't really matter if there is any personal trouble between Miller and the marshal here. We all know who Miller is and what Miller is. What's more, we're wasting time.
Yes, we all know who Miller is, but we put him away once. And who saved him from hanging? The politicians up north. I say this is their mess. Let them take care of it.
Well, I say this. We've been paying good money right along for the marshal and deputies, and now the first time there's any trouble, we're supposed to take care of it ourselves? Well, what have we been paying for all this time? I say we're not responsible. This ain't our job.
I don't care. Right along, we ought to have more deputies. If we did, we wouldn't be facing this thing now.
Just a minute. Just a minute. Everybody quiet. Keep in order.
I can't believe I heard some of the things that have been said here. Y'all ought to be ashamed of yourselves. Sure, we pay this man, and he's the best marshal this town ever had. And if he's in trouble, it is ours. I tell you, if you don't do what is right, I tell you, we're going to have plenty more trouble. So there's but one thing to do now, and y'all know what that is.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
This whole thing's been handled wrong. Here are those three killers walking along in the street bold as brass. Why don't you arrest them, Marshal? Why don't you put them in jail where they ought to be, and then we'd only have one to worry about instead of four of them?
I haven't anything to arrest them for, Mr. Trimble. They haven't done anything. There's no law against them sitting on a bench at the depot.
I can't listen to any more of this. What's the matter with your people? Don't you remember when a decent woman couldn't walk down the street in broad daylight? Don't you remember when it wasn't a fit place to bring up a child? How can you sit here and talk and talk and talk like this?
What are we getting so excited about? How do we know Miller's on that train anyway?
And we can be pretty sure that he is on it. Time is getting short. Parson, you got anything to say?
I don't know. The commandments say thou shalt not kill, but we hire a man to go out to do it for us. The right and wrong seem pretty clear here, but if you're asking me to tell my people to get out of here to kill and maybe get themselves killed, I'm sorry. I don't know what to say. I'm sorry. Section C, News Broadcast. News Item 1.
The Patriotic Front movement in Rwanda has sharply criticized a French plan to set up a zone of protection in southwestern Rwanda, using the forces it sent in 10 days ago under the United Nations mandate. The area is in the hands of the Rwandan government forces who've been retreating in the face of attacks by the Patriotic Front. The Secretary General of the front, Thierry Nyamwan Disingwa, said the aim was to protect those responsible for killing hundreds of thousands of people. He said it showed that the mission of the French troops was not humanitarian and that France was, as he put it, setting the pace for confrontation.
Item 2.
In New York, VOA's Breck Artery reports the latest step in the bitter battle between QVC and Viacom Company. A judge in the state of Delaware, where Paramount is incorporated, ruled that the company's so-called poison pill provisions are illegal and cannot be enforced. A poison pill is the term used to describe anti-takeover defenses which corporations employ to prevent acquisition by other companies. Having already agreed to merge with Viacom, Paramount's board of directors decided that any company other than Viacom would have to pay prohibitively large fees to complete an acquisition of Paramount. Although Judge Jack Jacobs ruled against those poison pill defenses, Viacom is expected to appeal the decision to the state Supreme Court in Delaware. So rather than clarifying the situation, Wednesday's court decision seems to prolong the battle for Paramount, which began in mid-September when Viacom, a television production company, offered about $70 per share of Paramount stock. QVC, a television marketing company, then offered $80 per share and the bidding war began. As things stand now, QVC is offering about $90 per share and Viacom about $85 per share. Paramount is one of America's leading producers of theatrical films and television programs, and other than Walt Disney, is the last major one which is not part of a conglomerate. Analysts say Paramount would be a very important addition to either QVC or Viacom as a way to enhance future growth. However, many analysts also say that, as valuable as Paramount may be, its value is not limitless, and at $90 per share, the upper limit may have been reached. Section D, Academic Lecture and Note-Taking Exercise. How to Live to be 100 or More, by George Burns. People keep asking me, George, you're 88. How do you do it? You make films, you do television, you give concerts, you record albums, smoke cigars, drink martinis, go out with pretty girls. How do you do it? It's simple. For instance, a martini. You fill the glass with ice, then pour in some gin and a touch of dry vermouth, add an olive, and you've got yourself a martini. Today, you don't have to worry about getting old. You have to worry about rusting. So I also do exercises and walk a lot. Walking is even easier than making a martini. I take one foot and put it in front of the other foot. Then I take the other foot and put it in front of the other foot. And before I know it, I'm walking. And you don't even need an olive. Every morning, I walk a mile and a half. My advice is to walk whenever you can. It's free. You feel better and look trim. If you want to live to be 100 or older, you can't just sit around waiting for it to happen. You have to get up and go after it. There's no point in kidding yourself. When you get older, you slow down. You wear out a little. But right now, I'm 88. And there isn't a thing I can't do today that I couldn't do when I was 18. Of course, I was pathetic when I was 18. I wasn't so hot when I was 25 either. I saved everything for now. I hate to brag, but I'm very good at now. Here are my other secrets for long life. Think positive. If you ask me what is the single most important key to longevity, I would have to say it's avoiding worry, stress, and tension. And if you didn't ask me, I'd still have to say it. Worry, stress, and tension are not only unpleasant, but can shorten your life. My attitude is, if something is beyond your control, there's no point worrying about it. And if you can do something about it, then there's still nothing to worry about. I feel that way when the plane I'm on is bouncing around in turbulence. It's not my problem. The pilot gets a lot of money to fly that plane. Let him worry about it. I can honestly say I was not even uptight about my heart bypass several years ago. It was beyond my control. It was the doctor's business. When I came around from the anesthetic, I heard the surgeon say, "George, you did great. You're just fine." I said, "Doctor, I wasn't the least bit concerned." "Really?" he said. "I was a nervous wreck." Even that didn't bother me. Then he handed me his bill, and I passed out. Stay active. I know that for some people, retirement works out fine. They enjoy it. I also know that for a great many others, it presents lots of problems. To me, the biggest danger of retirement is what it can do to your attitude. When you have all that time on your hands, you think old, you act old. It's a mistake. I see people who, the minute they get to be 65, start rehearsing to be old. They practice grunting when they get up. And by the time they get to be 70, they've made it. They're a hit. They're now old. Not me. When you're around my age, you've got to keep occupied. You've got to do something that will get you out of bed. I never made any money in bed. Yes, find something that will make you get out of bed, like an interest, a hobby, a business, a pretty girl. There we are, back in bed again. At my age, at least, let me talk about it. Challenge yourself. When my wife, Gracie, retired in 1958, I could have retired too. Even today, I don't have to do what I'm doing. I don't have to travel around giving concerts, making movies, doing television specials, recording country music albums, being a sex symbol. I firmly believe that you should keep working as long as you can. And if you can't, try to find something that will interest you. Don't wait for it to happen. Make it happen. Remember, you can't help getting older, but you don't have to get old. I look to the future because that's where I'm going to spend the rest of my life. I feel sorry for people who live in the past. I know it was cheaper then, but you can't keep looking in a rearview mirror unless you enjoy having a stiff neck. If you really think your life is over and you have no place to go, I advise you to take very short steps. It'll take you longer to get there. I don't live in the past. I live in a house in Beverly Hills. It's more comfortable. Actually, you may not believe this, but I don't waste time looking through scrapbooks of my career or rereading my old reviews. They were painful enough to read the first time. I find it's best to fall in love with what you're doing today. The things I did yesterday, I was in love with yesterday, but that romance is over. I'm very fickle. There's an old saying, life begins at 40. That's silly. Life begins every morning when you wake up. Open your mind to it. Don't just sit there. Do things. Swim the English Channel. Find a cure for the common cold. Be the first to go over the Niagara Falls in a rocking chair. You see, the possibilities are endless. If all else fails, try doing something nice for somebody who doesn't expect it. You'll be surprised how good you feel. The scouts have the right idea. Many's the time I've helped a young lady across the street and over to my place. You should see all my badges. The point is, with a good positive attitude and a little bit of luck, there's no reason you can't live to be 100. Once you've done that, you've really got it made, because very few people die over 100.